church.
All right. Well, you know what? We were in Romans chapter 10. I believe last service before, something like that, right? So let's go over there real quick. Romans chapter 10. There was something I was thinking about in there. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse number 5. And we'll see how we end up. All right, so Romans chapter 10 and verse number 5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Micah. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just another quick moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. Okay. And so verse number five says, "For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them," right? Verse number 6 says, "But the righteousness which is of faith," the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. So let's read verse number 5 again. "For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them." So the doing there that he's describing is a doer of the law, right? That's the doing that he's describing there, a person who's a doer of the law. So the commandment that they're living by, right, is listening to the commands, right, to the commands of the law of Moses and then doing them. So that's his occupation, right? That's his doing, is the law. And in verse number 6 it says, but the righteousness which is of faith. So he mentions that actually there in verse number 6, but the righteousness of faith, because in verse number 5 at the beginning of that, if we can bring that back real quick, he says, "For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law," right? And then he says that those who do the law, so obviously the point there is that they're doing the law, that they're doing the law in order to achieve righteousness, right? Doing the law in order to achieve righteousness. So then he says in verse number 6, if we can go back there or down there, it says, "But the righteousness which is of faith," the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Now, the interesting thing is, if you notice, he says the righteousness which is of the law, and then says the man that does these things shall live by them. And then he says the righteousness which is of faith, and it almost seems like he left something out. Like, so the righteousness which is of faith, like, what's the doing there, right? But he kind of already said which is the doing there, because he said faith, right? So he says the righteousness which is of faith. So the doing there, right, is the hearing, right? The doing there is we that do the truth, right? That's our work, where is our hearing, right? That's what he mentions faith there. He says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? It says, the word is near thee, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith, the word of faith which we preach." So it's an interesting thing there. And one thing I just want to draw out of this for a second, is that there are times when, and maybe many times, that the words of our mouth concern us. So whether that be like you wanting to help someone, the words of your mouth, right, that you want to say the right thing, that you want to pray the right thing, right, the words of your mouth. But you see, he says that it's an interesting thing. He says, so our doing or our work, right, is faith in Jesus, right? So, and that obviously is why it's called the righteousness of faith, right? Because we're made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Believing in what the Lord did for us. So here he says that in verse number 8, it says, but what does it say? It says, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The reason why I kind of brought you there is that I had been thinking a bit about, you ever heard people say, like, let your light shine, right? Let your light shine. And scripture says, right, that we should let our light shine before men, that they would give glory to God. I mean, I don't know how many of you grew up or in church, like hearing those sort of things that you know, like let your light shine, like it had to do with your example, you know, like your lifestyle evangelism, that you people would be able to see how you live, and that by the way that you live, that was like letting your light shine before men. But I want to bring you to a couple of things so we can kind of straighten a few things out there. So let's jump from here. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. I think that's good, right? And we'll keep climbing. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 22. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 22. And it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." So there's something, we're going somewhere here, but what we're talking about here, because we keep his commandments, that's our doing again, right? Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. So there is a doing there. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight, right? Doing. So that's talking about whatever it is that we're doing is keeping his commandments, and whatever it is that we're doing is pleasing in his sight, right? Whatever we're doing is keeping his commandments, and that whatever it is that we are doing also, right, is pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, right? And because he kind of lets you know what it is that's pleasing in his sight and what it is keeping his commandments, right? That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So again, there you see that the doing is in our hearing, right? Because if what he says is believe, he says there in verse number 23, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Obviously, there is no believing, and there is no believing without hearing, because we can't know to believe, to have faith in Jesus without hearing. And you can see, obviously, that it's used interchangeably, because we know that the command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that first portion there is actually taking the place of that, and it says that we should believe and love our neighbor as ourselves. So the believing is the loving God. So if we can kind of like allow ourselves, right, to let the Lord kind of give our brain a bath, right, tonight, and just let him remind you, you know, when if it were to come out of your mouth, Lord, like I love you, like what is that doing to love the Lord your God? Because there is a command, there is a doing there, right? Lord, I love you. So what is loving God, right? If you say, you know, I love the Lord, what is loving God? What is the commandment to love the Lord your God? And what is the doing? Like, what is it that we're occupied with? Because it's not like we're not people that ought to be occupied. It's not like we are people that are left without a labor, right? He says, don't labor for the meat which perishes, but labor, right, for that one which endures to everlasting life. So there is a work, right? We've seen many times, right? Jesus told the multitude, they asked him, they said, what is, you know, what can we do to work the works of God? So they were talking there again about a doing. What can we do to work the works of God? And the answer of Jesus was to work the works of God is to believe on his son, right, that he has sent. So there is a doing, there is an occupation. And I had been thinking about this quite a bit, you know, because, you know, I understand what it is to be occupied sometimes with things, right? I think we would put it maybe a little bit different. Sometimes we say preoccupied. And I think sometimes when we say preoccupied is because we were concerned about many things. And despite the many times that we've mentioned it, you know, that's really what the Lord Jesus said about Martha, right? She's preoccupied with many things. She's occupied with many things, but her occupation was not in him, right, to listen to him. And that's an excellent picture of even what we were reading before in the law. I mean, not necessarily, I don't know what was in the heart of Martha, if she was really about works, but the thing that you do see is that she was not preoccupied with him, right? She wasn't preoccupied with him. So the one thing that I had just been thinking about a lot lately has been about just giving just laying my heart open before the Lord, right? Like allowing him to be able, just within the last several days, it's just been coming up a lot. Just allowing the Lord entrance into your heart, right? To come in and to do the things that that are needful for him to do in our mind and our heart, right? Because there is an occupation, there is a preoccupation that we can have that can occupy. I mean, there are times, honestly, in the society that we live in today where you don't give your mind a moment's rest. Like, your mind is constantly bombarded and occupied with so many things. But if we see the great advantage that the Lord has given us, right, he's come, right, through his work on the cross, he's come to live on the inside of us, and he's given us the unique advantage, right, that we can give him entrance into our heart and into our mind that he might teach us, right? And that use, and there's another doing or work, right? You know, the Lord says that because of use, we can have our senses exercised to be able to discern good and evil, right? That we would be able to know those things that are profitable, that we would be able to see the things that the Lord is speaking to us, right? So even in times where we have a concern, quote unquote, right, for someone else, a concern for people, whatever it is that you are concerned about, just as it relates right now in this example to people or whatever the concern is, right, doesn't really matter. That we can see, you know what, Lord, there is something, because sometimes we say, Lord, like when it has to do with somebody else, there's really nothing that we can do about it. But sort of, and maybe this is just maybe more opinion than anything else, but it's indirectly, there kind of is, right? Because a person can learn through God in you. But if our understanding is not enlightened, like if we're not growing in the Lord, then how can those things happen through us? Then obviously they can't. They have to happen through somebody else. So we don't have the responsibility of others' decisions, right? But it is true, right, that how can people hear without a preacher, right? So the cool thing is that even in your concern for other people, there is nothing. There is, and it's not that you want to listen, okay, Lord, so I'm going to listen for them, right? The thing is that there is nothing greater that the Lord has called you to than for you to listen for you. That is a big deal, right? Listening for you is a big deal, because there is much profit that other people can gain, right? But the basic thing that we really can't escape in all of this doing that we're talking about, right? When the Lord talks about, you know, those that because of use, because of having their heart, and maybe that's a good way just to look at it in a picture tonight, just having our heart used by the Lord, right? Like the Lord coming in and using our heart and coming in and having our senses exercised, in other words, our hearing on the Lord, our seeing, right? We can see and we can hear the things that the Lord is teaching us. So because of the frequency of that, right? Because of the frequency of that, then, right, you partake of the advantage that the Lord has given us, right? To come and live on the inside of us. So here in... where were we? So we were in 3:23. He says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandments. So let's move a little further. The reference that we were talking about before, that was John 6, where we said where we said that we might work the works of God, and Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. That's John chapter 6, okay, in case you were thinking. You know, I just mentioned this in passing. I don't think that this could not be, everything that we're saying tonight couldn't be said without this, but I think it's good. We read John 1, or from John 1 last service, and I think maybe what might have gotten me sort of started in what we were doing in John 1:9 is that in John 1:9 it says that was the true light, speaking of Jesus Christ, that was the true light. It says John was not the light, but Jesus, he is the true light. And I like this, it says, which lights every man that comes into the world, you know. And that maybe had gotten me thinking along those lines about, you know, let your light so shine before men. Like, how is it that we let the light of God shine? Like, is that really what it is? Like, in other words, light manifests, right? So does God manifest himself? Because it's Jesus that we're talking about, right? That's really who we're talking about. The Jesus who is on the inside of us, does he does he through us, right, do we shine the light of his glory, which we possess, that's ours in us, right? Do we shine the light of the glory of God, you know, just because like we're nice to people, like does the glory of God like shine through us in our actions, in the way that we are with people? Or is there a way that the light of God shines, that we allow our light to shine therefore among men, that men then are able to glorify God, right? And really, if you think about this, there is, and maybe we can just go quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. We've definitely seen this before, but this is good in light of what we're saying today, right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." And I think maybe, I was going to say uselessness there. Depravity, it says, is devoid of truth, right? So, not to walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, being vanity of their mind, so meaning absent of truth, right? Devoid of truth, not having truth in them. So these, that's an example of people that don't do truth, right? That's not their, where their labor is, that's not where their work. They labor for the work, for the meat that perishes, right? And that's where obviously things end up, right? But we, it says, that do the truth, it says, obviously is the exact opposite of vanity of their mind. But in verse number 18, he says, having their understanding darkened. So when I hear today about that we are the light in darkness, right? I'm not thinking of darkness. Like darkness is that this world is very dark. In other words, that it's very evil from just the respect of bad, right? But the darkness, right? When I hear darkness, I hear the darkness of the minds of people, right? The darkness of the mind of people. It says that we read many services ago that we were aliens, right? And enemies in our mind by wicked works, right? Enemies in our mind by wicked works. So obviously it's not that we do bad things, and because we do bad things, our minds then are alienated from God because we do bad things. But there is, like, if you think, we keep talking about this doing thing, right? What is the wicked work that made us in time past enemies of God in our mind, that we were alienated from the life of God? Like, what is it that alienates us from the life of God and makes us enemies in our mind that's called wicked works, right? So that is unbelief, right? That's a refusal to receive or to accept the truth, right? The light came into the world, right? Light came into the world, and men, and maybe we'll read that in a second, but men love darkness rather than light. So that's love darkness rather than light is basically disobedient, right? Disobedient, because if our command is to love God, and said they loved darkness rather than light, right? So then the love of people is not towards God, but towards the things of this world, right? So the wicked works that makes us enemies in our minds is unbelief. That's what affected the people of Israel, right? It was their mind, it was their heart, it was unbelief, right? So again, there is a doing, but there's doing and works on both ends, right? There is a doing of the law, there is just wicked works, which is unbelief. So whether you're a doer of the law, right, you're in unbelief, and whether you're not a doer of the law, but you're just a doer of what seems right in your sight, then you're still a doer. But both, right, are not loving God, right? So there's not people that just live the desire to please God by the commands and don't believe that God is pleased with them unless they keep the Ten Commandments, right? Haven't understood the love of God, right? Have not been perfected in the love of God. So if we can read verse 18 again, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, right? So you see that? Through the ignorance that is in them. So if you continue to see this, right, we have the exact opposite going on in our lives, right? We're people that don't have, right, we don't live with ignorance, but we've actually been given the Spirit that knows all the things of God on the inside of us, right? We are people that are not, we were in time past alienated and enemies in our mind. But today, right, we are not alienated from the life of God. Actually, we've received as our inheritance the life of God in us, right? So he says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, right? Because of the blindness of their heart. So they are people, right? They don't have their senses exercised. They're not people that they're doing is listening and hearing the Lord. They are not people that seek after, because even seeking, right? Because we're talking about doing, but seeking is a doing. So seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking after God, right, is a doing. But that seeking after God and listening to the Lord, right, acknowledging the Lord and listening to him are not two different things. Like seeking the things of the kingdom of God and listening to the Lord, like almost like those are two separate things that you do. When you seek first the kingdom of God, that's talking about the preoccupation and the occupation of your mind on the Lord, right? Loving the Lord your God is the same thing. It is our work, right? It is our work. So he says, verse number 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, right? That we have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. On that note, I think that's a good place for us to just keep that in the back of your mind, as the truth is in Jesus. Let me just show you a little something here real quick. Let's go to, if I can find it really quick here. John chapter 3, and let's look at verse number 19. John 3:19. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Now, the condemnation there, that word condemnation, that's it's a big word, right? But the best way that I was able to just define that a little bit better, where I understood it and saw it clearer, was this is how I wrote it down: a damnatory judgment. In other words, a judgment that damns, a judgment that, I mean, you can say condemns, right? But in other words, there's a difference. Quite a difference between, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In other words, there is no judgment against those who are in Christ. But here, the word condemnation means this is the damnatory judgment. Like this is why, in other words, he's saying this is why there is this judgment. This is why there is this judgment, is what he's saying there in the first part of that verse. This is why there is that judgment. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. So for men to love darkness rather than light, in other words, for them not to love light is not to love God, right? To not love light is not to love God, right? Because it says their deeds were evil. Very similar to what we were just saying, by wicked works, right? Enemies of their mind by wicked works. Here it says, he says their deeds were evil. Right, so obviously this is not talking about their deeds were evil. They did bad things outwardly, even though that's an effect of the way that people think. But so we know what the work is, right? We know what the work is. The wicked works, unbelief, right? That's what made them lovers of darkness rather than lovers of light. For everyone, in verse number 20, for everyone that does evil hates light, right? If you do evil, you hate light. So if you live in unbelief and don't refuse to accept the gospel that's in the world, right? The gospel that's being preached, people that refuse to accept that, right? They don't desire to come to the light. In other words, they don't desire to hear. They don't desire to hear that, right? Because that which they hear is contrary to them, right? So people that desire to hear and come to the light are people that are learning to become doers of truth, right? So they'll come to the light because people want to hear, even if they're not saved yet, right? They desire to grow in that, and they'll continue to hear, and they'll keep coming to the light because they desire to what? Believe. So they can have faith, right? They can have faith but not be established in faith completely, right? But they can begin to what? Believe. So people that even in the infancies of believing, and not even being fully established yet, but just people that like you know, the parable of the seed and the sower, that have faith, right, that receive the word of God gladly, those are people that come to the light. light, or that come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? That come to the revelation of his finished work, right? And how he has glorified us, they come to that. And then what happens? They come to it, why? Because they desire to hear. So they're changing their old work for a new work, right? And they could not even be saved yet, but that's why they continually come to the light, because they desire to what? Believe. So that means their work is changing. Their work is changing, right? Even though they don't have the Spirit of God, yet as often as they do that, their work is changing. Their work is changing. They're becoming obedient. They're becoming obedient to the faith and aren't even saved yet, right? Why? Because they continually come to the light to hear. So it says, for everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. So that reproved, I believe that's like corrected, right? Confuted, admonished, rebuked, right? Corrected. So when you, it says in that last part, it says they hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Then when people aren't seeking, and here's the thing too that happens sometimes. When people aren't seeking after the Lord to listen to him, but are just following the precepts of men, things that they hear, you can see how the things that you speak that are of the Lord, right? The things that you speak of the Lord, they have a tendency to reject, right? Because they actually are not exercised in their heart to listen to the Lord. They just follow the precepts of men. In other words, the things that men teach, that's what they receive. But they're not accustomed, even if they're saved, they have not accustomed their senses, in other words, their hearing and their seeing, to be able to listen to God, right? So when someone speaks by the Spirit of God, it sounds foreign to them. It sounds foreign to them. But that is actually, and I don't think necessarily we're going that way full force tonight, but I can show you in Scripture where he says that we that are doers of the truth, and I think maybe we will go there, right? That we that are doers of the truth, might as well go there right now. And maybe if we have time, we'll come back here. Actually, you know what? It's actually right there. we're in verse number 20, right? Verse number 20. For everyone that does evil, so just keep in mind, you see all this doing, I love that when it's just all over the place, doing. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, for his deeds, his doings should be corrected. In other words, what happens is people are corrected, they're reproved. So they don't walk in the light, that they're not after faith in Jesus Christ. That's not their doing. So when they hear that this is like something as beautiful as this is the one thing that God has given you to do, that's offensive. But why is it offensive? Because that's not where their doing is. Their doing's over here, busy about the commandments of men, busy about the law of Moses. And when you tell them something that is of God, right, they actually reject that. But they're not rejecting that because they hate God. They're rejecting that because even if they're saved, their heart is not accustomed to coming to the light. And I know that sounds really weird, right? That somebody that is saved would not be accustomed to coming to the light. But the thing is, what that means is what Paul prayed, right, in Ephesians, that the eyes of your understanding in chapter 1 would be enlightened. Well, how are the eyes of your understanding enlightened? Because you come to the light. In other words, you come to the Lord to listen to him. In other words, you set your heart to listen to the Lord, and the Lord teaches you and enlightens the eyes of your understanding. In other words, brings light. He is the one that lights every man, the only one that can light every man, the only one that can teach every man is him, right? That men would know him. So it says that their deeds should be corrected. So sometimes, you know, well, not sometimes, all the time, if people are not accustomed to just listening to the Lord, which is the one thing, and actually growing in true teaching, I can't tell you any other way. You can not be seeking after the Lord, right, and listen to something that is true. And if you're not listening to the Lord, it's really difficult. In other words, for you to hear truth but lean on your own understanding, how can you know the truth? If you're hearing truth but leaning on your own understanding, how can you hear truth, right? So here he says that their deeds should be reproved. In other words, there is a correction that happens in our way of thinking, in our minds, right? There's a correction that happens where God is, right, casting things down. He's bringing down things that don't belong there, stuff that you've been learning that you shouldn't have learned, right? Things that you were taught that you should not have been taught. And when you come to the light, right, when you accustom your senses, your hearing and your seeing, right, to come to him, then what happens? Things begin to be corrected. Now, watch what he says in verse number 21, which is really good. But he that does truth, I really like it. He that does truth comes to the light. He that does truth comes to the light. You know, I remember, I don't know why this stands out so prevalently in my mind, but when Paul was taught of the Lord, right? He came before the apostles and said to them, basically said, this is what the Lord taught me. I mean, he had gone away for years, right? Came back and said, this is what the Lord taught me. That man was a doer, right? A doer of truth. Therefore, he comes before other men of God, right? And he says, this is what the Lord taught me. So there is no fear. There is no fear in coming before other men of God, right? That speak the truth as well, right? Because the expectation is that you're not going to be reproved, right? But that you're actually, there'll be agreement, right? You follow? There'll be agreement. Why? Because they're also doers of truth. So obviously the Lord can correct your mind and the Lord can correct your heart, right, as he on the inside of you is teaching you, but obviously he could also speak through other people, right? Can also speak through other people and teach you, right? I mean, you're hearing externally, but he can teach you also on the inside, and that same kind of enlightenment can come. So, but someone, he says, if you are a doer of the truth, you come to the light. So I think the perception is that everyone that is a believer comes to the light, but that's really actually not so. You see that, right? Not everyone that is a believer is accustomed to coming to the light. There are people that are believers that had the eyes of their understanding enlightened to a certain extent and came to an assurance of their faith and they were saved, but have grown stagnant, right? And their senses are not used. In other words, they are, he says, you know, that by now you ought to be teachers. How can he say that you ought to be teachers? Because faith is in your heart and it's in your mouth. So it's not like, you know, somebody gives you a certificate. It's that you become a teacher because it's in your heart. It's going to fly out of your mouth. Even if you don't have a position in a church to teach, you will teach, right? Because it's in your heart and it's going to come out of your mouth. So when you speak to people, right, it'll happen. It'll happen. But he says, but now you ought to be teachers, but because of what? Because of the lack of you exercising your senses. In other words, because of the lack of you not doing your work. Right? Because you're not doing your work. Well, what is the work that we should do? That is to listen to the Lord. That's where our labor lies. That's what it is that we desire to do. That's where our preoccupation lies. That's where our occupation is, right? So he says, but he that does truth comes to the light that his deeds may be manifest, right? So you see what happens? When you are a listener of God, right? When you're a listener of God, you can come to the light, right? And there's agreement between what's in your mind and God, what's in your mind and other believers, right? So we experience a unity together, right? We experience more and more a growing unity together. Why? Because we allow the Lord to teach us. Therefore, there is unity between our thinking and God's thinking, right? We think like God thinks. So when you think like God thinks and other people are doers of the same truth, then you become what? You become of the same mind, thinking very similarly, right? So he says, but he that is a doer of the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are worked in God, right? That in other words, that it's God that taught me this. So Paul comes and says, this is what God taught me. The disciples listen to what he's saying. He said, yep, God taught them that. How do they know? They weren't there. How do they know that God taught him that? Because what he said is the same thing that God taught them. Right, because he's not teaching us all different things, right? He's teaching us all Christ, right? So when we hear, like people from the, obviously, like you guys, when you hear someone that is a Christian that is from a different church that is not centered on Christ and is not about listening to the Lord and allowing him to teach them, many of the things that they say are not centered around the Lord. They're not about like the things that they would have learned or seen or heard on a service-to-service basis, because it's not centered on the Lord. You see that difference. But you're missing something, right? Or you yourself in your own understanding now, the thing in your renewed mind now, you're able to detect easily, right? Your senses now have been exercised, and you can clearly see what's profitable and what's not profitable. You can see good and evil clearly, right? You can see unbelief. You hear the way somebody speaks, and you're like, my gosh, like, we just got done talking about this, and you said that you believe it, but look at what you're saying now. So obviously you can clearly see there is a clear disconnect there. Now, how is it that you spot when somebody talks to you, how is it that you can so clearly see what it is that they're missing, right? Because what they're missing is what Christ has been teaching you, right? And he's been teaching you himself crucified, right? And the glory that followed. We said last service, we said he justified us and he glorified us, that he put his own glory on the inside of us, that he's made us heirs and joint heirs with him. So when you see people talking about things that they desire to have, that you know you have in the inheritance of God, things that they're waiting to get on the coming of Christ, that you know you possess already in your inheritance, things like all of these things, the differences that you see, it's because there's a difference between those that have their senses exercised by listening to the Lord, right? They're hearing and they're seeing, right? And those that even may be saved but don't hear. So that means that if they're not accustomed to coming to the light, then all that they can get is just what they're receiving, what they're hearing of men. Right? And obviously, if it is not the gospel, then it will not enlighten their mind. If they're not taught not to lean on their own understanding, they'll even listen that way. Leaning on their own understanding, they'll listen that way, right? Try to see because you can tell someone the plainest gospel and prove it everywhere. But if someone is leaning on their own understanding, it'll never compute with them. You know, it'll never settle. Because it'll never enter into the heart of men by themselves, right? It'll never enter into the heart of men by themselves. But many things, obviously, that we've been taught, one of the principal things, right, that the Lord taught us over these years was not to lean on our own understanding. Like, that was not a little thing, right? That was, Proverbs 3, I believe it is, chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4, right around Proverbs, it's just the acknowledging of the Lord, not to lean on our own understanding. I had heard that verse a gazillion times, but that was a monumental thing. And the reason, like, why is it such a significant thing? Why? Because you understood, this is when you began to see more. Why? Because you opened up your heart and you said, Lord, you know what? Truth is not my job, but truth is of you. Right? And the way that I can be a doer of the truth or a doer of the work is to be one, Lord, that listens to you, right? Listens to you and accept that as the ease, right? The ease of what the Lord has called us to do. So good. Okay, let me see if we wrap this up real quick here. Okay. You know, yeah, so this is a good way, I think, to end this too. There is obviously a trajectory between now, right, and the second coming of the Lord, right? So what will happen on that day, we understand, right, that the whole earth will be filled with his glory, right? And it's cool what Habakkuk says. It's Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 14. He says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Isn't that cool, right? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now we had heard that before, right? That the glory of the Lord would fill the earth. But you see how it is that it happens, right? It is the knowledge. See, it says that we would be filled, right, with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, right? In other words, that it is the knowledge of Christ, of who he is and what he's done, right? All that the Lord has done for us, the love of God manifest to us, right? It's the knowledge of that glory. In other words, it's the knowledge of the gospel shed all over the earth, but made manifest in the hearts of all people, right? That men, right, like men like us know it now, right? That it's we've come to a full knowledge of Christ. So then you see, if that is that is the end result of the renewal of all things, right? In other words, if that is the end result of the perfecting of everything, do you see if you just bring it back a couple of notches to the year that we're in today, right? That's why the Lord makes the beholding, right, of the glory of God, right? In the face of Jesus Christ, beholding the Lord Jesus as in a mirror, right? Beholding the glory that you possess and all that he's done, like why it is that you possess that glory, being able to see Christ in him crucified and the glory that would follow, like why is it that that is, right? What we're beholding today is because that's exactly how everything else will be done. In other words, we've received that newness already. So that's why that becomes our preoccupation, being able to renew our mind, because that will be the thing that he will do in all its finality in the mind of every single believer, right? But it's happening to us. It's a pretty cool thing that that end result of what will he'll do in the mind of every believer is happening in our minds right now. So we can partake of I mean, I don't know, like we think about how good it'll be. Like people think about how good it'll be in that day, right? Because there'll be no more tears and there'll be no more pain. But like, we don't get it that's why he makes that our preoccupation and our command now here, right? Because that's what he's doing in our mind and in our heart now. In other words, he's living out in our mind, right? And affecting our body in the same way that it will affect every single believer's mind in that day. Whether they're slow to come to the light now or not, and they never grow any further in their knowledge of Christ in that day, they'll have full knowledge, right? He's working those things out in our lives right now, right? That awesome thing to be able to be a partaker of those heavenly things, right? That of partakers of that glory. We'll leave it right there. Making us partakers of that glory right now by the one thing that he's given us to do, right?
ReformInUs.com